This bonus episode of Unbuttoned is brought to you by Vitali Barbaris Canonico. Both Bruce and I have a long relationship with this Italian fabric mill as journalists, consultants, and friends. So when we looked for partners to create a bonus episode that would allow us to share more stories and insights about makers we deeply respect, VBC was a clear choice. The company first caught Bruce's eye over a decade ago.
I was up at a tailor I knew well and know well in New York, Leonard Logsdale, who's a very, very fine tailor in New York, one of the best without question. And a gentleman came in and I noticed he was very, very nicely dressed. You know, my eye goes to that kind of thing right away. It's part habit and it's part sensitivity, I guess. I look at everything right away, you know, and I noticed that this guy was wearing a beautiful navy double-breasted blazer. It was in the summertime, and so this blazer he was wearing was a very lightweight cloth, and the lapel just kind of rolled, you know, beautifully. And he just struck me as a very elegant man. And I didn't know him, you know, so I was kind of anxious to meet him. I wanted to find out where he got his blazer, you know, who made his blazer. So after he talked with Len a while and looked around, and you know, it was clear that he had never been there before. Anyway, so I went over to him and I said, "Excuse me," and I introduced myself and I said, "You know, I just wanted to compliment you on your blazer." I said, "That's just a gorgeous garment," and so forth. And he introduced himself, and it was Francesco Barbaris Canonico, which is one of the family who owns the VBC mill for hundreds and hundreds of years.
That is not an exaggeration. The earliest record of a Barbero providing woven cloth comes from 1663. That makes Francesco, the current creative director, the 13th generation to helm the firm. And for all that time, VBC has been producing its fabrics in the northern province of Biella.
At that point in Italy, you're at the base of the Italian Alps. You get that the wonderful water coming down from the Alps and so forth. And some people have said that traditionally that's one of the ingredients that makes the cloth so special. I'm not sure how much that applies anymore, because now the production of cloth is so high tech.
I visited the VBC mill a few years ago, and to get there was kind of a crazy magical trip from Milan. The drive takes about 2 hours, and on that day, the highway was so shrouded in fog you could barely see the car in front of you. But as we got deeper into the countryside, rising higher and higher into the mountains, we rose above the fog. We emerged into a region bathed in sunlight as we drove through Biella towards the tiny town of Pratrivero.
When you drive through the little town, I mean, you could be driving through an Italian village in the 19th century. There's a little cafe, there are some houses with terracotta roofs, whatever. And then you get to this mill.
I have to say, from the road, the mill doesn't really stand out. It's a long, three-story building with a kind of classic mid-century design. But once you are inside, it is mind-blowing. The mill itself is huge, probably bigger than a football field, and it goes 9 stories underground. Level after level of production filled with row after row of machinery. Machines that wash the wool, machines that turn wool into thread, machines that weave the thread into fabric, but at an enormous scale.
Absolutely just astounding. Where to begin? Well, first of all, the most, and this is maybe the most important aspect of the product that they make. And speaking of product, too, I'm not sure of my figures exactly. I think I have it in my mind somewhere that they produce maybe 10 million meters of cloth a year.
Which works out to more than 5,000 different varieties of fabric. But you know, what I found most surprising in this super high-tech space was the smell. It was kind of barnyardy. And that's because, of course, what they're working with, the wool, is a natural thing. And when it comes to that wool, the folks at VBC told me they go all the way to the farms in Australia and New Zealand to work with sheep farmers themselves, trying to develop the best quality right from the source. Once the wool arrives in Italy, the entire production is done in-house.
Everything from the first washing of the raw wool when it comes in, to the spinning of the yarn, to the dyeing of it, to the weaving, to the finishing. I mean, all of these steps are done right within that factory there.
So why does all this matter? Well, when I was there and I was talking with Francesco, I really got to understand that his vision for fabric encompasses the entire production process. You can't end up with a certain feel of flannel, for instance, if you don't start with the wool itself. And here's another thing that caught my eye from the end of the process. I walked past a glassed-in room where a huge sheet of fabric was hanging in front of a bunch of bright lights. A woman was slowly, methodically going over every inch of the fabric.
Every single yard of it is inspected by hand. I mean, it's run through rollers, and there will be people sitting there who have very acute eyes. Some of them have been, well, second, third generation doing this work. And they will look for flaws and so forth. And if the flaw is too great, then that cloth will have to be discarded. If it's a very, very tiny flaw, and in fact, I've watched them do this, and they've stopped the rolling machine to look at a flaw that I couldn't even see. It was so small. They have hand weavers there who can, you know, reweave the cloth if there's a break in the thread or something like that. So that's where the real old-fashioned part of it comes in. You know, the Italian mindset, if you will, is very good at combining the old world techniques of craftsmanship with the new technology.
Something of that old world that just floored me was the VBC archives. Picture a classic library with dim lighting, big leather chairs, and row after row of tall, dark wooden shelves. And on those shelves,
they had all of these swatch books of cloth that they had made going back hundreds of years. What they did was they built a special archival building, you know, climate controlled, all the whole deal, to house all of this stuff. They have over 2,000 volumes, big volumes. I mean, you couldn't, I couldn't pick one up on myself. But over 2,000 of these volumes with hundreds of thousands of swatches of cloth. And these things can be used for inspiration if they want. To me, it's just the idea that they're so respectful of the past.
These swatch books, which belong to various mills around Europe, go back to the mid-1800s, and I couldn't believe what was inside. So much color and pattern. It's funny, since our pictures of the 19th and early 20th centuries are in black and white, maybe we think subconsciously that life itself was in black and white. No way. And the cool thing is that today's VBC designers can and do use this archive for inspiration, sometimes even recreating patterns from over 100 years ago. And so, okay, after all of this buildup, what are Bruce's favorite VBC cloths and why? Well, his first is their lightweight flannels.
Their flannel has a very soft hand. You know, it's almost as though it's blended with cashmere. It's got that kind of softness. I'm not sure how they are able to achieve this. I suspect it's in the finishing somehow.
You can actually see an example of this flannel in the image for this podcast episode. As to Bruce's other favorite VBC cloth,
at the other kind of end of the spectrum is they do superb, lightweight, high twist cloths. What I like about those is they make a kind of perfect summer suiting, perfect travel clothing. I think the Italians are very good at figuring out technologies to increase the wearability of the clothing. This idea of high twist fabric is just marvelous. What they do is, if you were to take a thread or a piece of string or something and keep twisting it up, what you're doing is you give it a certain elasticity, right? I mean, it has a certain give and so forth. If you could do that with yarn and then figure out how to weave it, you would have a cloth that would be both cool and wrinkle resistant. When I travel, I always take either a high twist blazer or a high twist suit because it just holds up so well.
But the strongest feeling I certainly had after visiting the VBC mill was the warmth and generosity of Francesco himself. Seriously. He took me and my team out for lunch. He was so generous with his time. He gave me a lovely selection of cloth that I've had made into a beautiful jacket. He even gave flannel shoe bags to the entire crew. Not because he had to, but because he's sincerely a magnanimous guy.
I tell you a very quick story about that. I did a presentation for him a couple of years ago at his showroom in Milan. And he said to me, I mean, this show you what a generous man he really is. He said, I have a surprise for you after your presentation. So I made my presentation. And then he brought in what must be one of the few Italian blues bands in Italy to play for me. It was just wonderful. And these guys were fabulous. I mean, they could have been from Mississippi, you know. I mean, they were really good. It was a trio of Italian guys, and they played very traditional American blues. I knew all of the numbers they played. But wasn't that delightful of him?
If you want to learn more about VBC, and to actually see what the mill looks like and that amazing archive, just go to vitalibarbariscanonico.com. This has been a production of the Hogtown Rake. Thank you for listening.